Well, it is true that sometimes in life we end up at the wrong place at the wrong time. There was a man on a busy street in New York City, and this man hurried to get across a busy intersection. He almost made it to the other side, but just before he got to the safety of the sidewalk, he was hit by a bus. The man was lying on the sidewalk, and the crowd gathered around him. The injured man said, "A priest, somebody get me a priest." Well, the policeman called through the crowd, but there was no priest and no minister of any kind there. But the man repeated, "A priest, please, I need a priest." Well, out of the crowd, an elderly Jewish man stepped up to the policeman and he said, "Officer, I'm not a priest. I'm not even Catholic. I'm Jewish. But for 50 years now, I've been living behind St. Elizabeth Catholic Church on First Avenue, and every night I've listened to what they're saying, so maybe it would bring some comfort if I just repeat to this man what I hear at church." And so the policeman said, "Okay," and he brought him over, and he said, "Okay, just repeat to him what you hear at church every night." So the Jewish man leaned down over the injured man, and in a solemn voice said, "B5. I-19. Bingo. Sometimes we're at the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes it even feels like our life maybe is going in the wrong direction. A senior citizen was driving down the freeway when his wife called him on the phone and she said, "Herman, I just heard on the news that there's a car going the wrong way on Route 280 and I know you always go that way." And he said, "Honey, it's not just one car, there are hundreds of them going the wrong way." I wonder this morning, as we think about these teachings from Jesus, have you ever felt like you were in the wrong place at the wrong time? Have you ever felt like you were going one way and everybody else seemed to be going a different way? Maybe more personally this morning, are you in the right place right now? I don't mean in this building, but I mean in your life, are you in the right place for the right time? Where is your place? Where do you belong? Maybe the question is, where do you most feel at home? What is your place? This week I read the following words. "Every day, thousands of people wonder if they are in the right place. Am I a square peg in a round hole, or am I a round peg in a square hole? Am I making the full use of my talents? Are my abilities being channeled in the right directions? Is there not some occupation or something that I can do more efficiently? Are my efforts being fully appreciated?" These are typical questions people ask themselves. Most every person is seeking to find or improve his or her place in life. So are you in the right place? Where is your place? In both of our parables for today, everyone is looking for their place. Earlier in our service, we read the familiar parable we often call the prodigal son. And now there are so many things about that parable we could talk about. We could talk about the younger son, the father, the older son. But let us ask this question. What was the prodigal doing? Ultimately, wasn't he trying to find his place? He wasn't satisfied at home, so he went in search of his place. He went to find that place where he could fit in. He was desperate to find his place. Then we come to the text we just read for this morning, and Jesus is at the home of a leader of the Pharisees. They are sharing a Sabbath meal. Jesus has been invited to this meal, and Jesus arrives early, and he sits there, and he notices as the other guests arrive. What do? They try to find their place. They're looking for their seats. And Jesus realizes that many of them will take a seat of honor, a place close to where the host will ultimately sit. But others find a lower, more humble place to sit. But for all of them, there is a sense of uncertainty as to whether or not the seats they are sitting in is their place. We've all been there. Maybe you're invited to a dinner at someone's home, and if the seats are not assigned and it's time to sit down, where do you sit? Maybe you're at a conference or you're away and there's a meal and you don't know anybody. Where do you sit? We've all been in that place where we try to find our place. And sometimes maybe we sit in the wrong place. Sure enough, in this banquet, some people ended up in the wrong place. When people choose their own seat, sometimes they sit where they should not sit. Let's say it more personally. When we choose our own place, sometimes we end up in the wrong place. You might have to be asked to move to a different place. For some, it's a better place. It's a more honored place. But for others, it's a lower place, a place of lower status. The ancient world was much like our own world. When a host held a banquet, sometimes there were assigned seats, but other times folks selected their own place to sit when they arrived. And Jesus uses this scenario, this familiar situation, to his listeners and to us, to talk about something that is oh so important. And what Jesus says is, if you have not been assigned a place, then don't sit in a place of honor. For it is better for you to sit in a lower place and be asked to move to a seat of honor than it is to sit in a more honored place and to have the host ask you to move to a lower place. At first glance, this parable or this teaching seems to be little more than simply practical advice for table etiquette. But when we come to that last verse, verse 11, we really understand why Jesus tells this parable. In verse 11, Jesus says, "For all who exalt themselves, they will be humbled. And for all who humble themselves, they will be exalted." You see, Jesus takes this last sentence to expand this teaching about table etiquette and where to sit, and he uses it to expand the meaning to the life of faith. What he's really trying to say is this: following Jesus means abandoning the entire system of honor and shame, of reputation and recognition. Following Jesus, he says, means seeking the place where God wants us to be, regardless of the social implications in our lives. Following Jesus means to live our lives in the place where God wants us to be without concern for what others think. This teaching from Jesus encourages us to know that when we are in the place God wants us to be, when we are in the place we were created to be in, then it doesn't matter where we fit into society. God may want us in a very public place or position, or God may want us quietly behind the scenes. But none of that matters when we are in the place God wants us to be. It's like we said last week with the parables from last week's teaching. What Jesus is really talking about is attitude, humility, and obedience. Let's come back to the prodigal son for just a moment. Isn't it interesting that in the parable of the prodigal son, the wayward son, when he comes back home, he was out seeking his place, but when he comes back home, he accepts his place at the table. But the son who had been at home the entire time, the older son who had been there all of those years, he refuses his place at the banquet, evidently because he was dissatisfied with the place he had been given. You see, instead of celebrating his place, the older brother begins to compare his place with the place of his brother. And as he compared the two places, the older brother then refused to accept his own place and misses the tremendous blessing that would have been his. Jesus said, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted." That is the rule for the life of the kingdom of God. But let us not miss something very important in this teaching. Ultimately, guests who are invited to a banquet may think that they get to choose their place to sit if there's not assigned seating. But ultimately, the host always has the right to rearrange the seating for the best situation. It's kind of like a seating arrangement in a classroom at school. Many of our children and teenagers will be going back to school either this week or next week, depending on the county where you live. And there's that time where you walk into class on the first day of school, and maybe seats are not assigned for your particular class, and you get to pick a seat. And maybe there are some seats in the class that seem to be better than others. Maybe it's the back row. You want to be as far away from the front as possible. Or maybe it's the front. You want to be close to the teacher. Or maybe it's by the window so you can look out and daydream a little bit. Or maybe it's by the door so you're the first one out to get to the lunch line. There are some favored seats in the classroom. And maybe on the first day, students get to pick where they sit. But often, the teacher, after learning the students, will rearrange the class so that the person is sitting in an ideal place for learning. It's the same way with God. So often we think we are in control of our own lives, but it is our Heavenly Father who often has different plans for us than what we have for ourselves. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says this: "In your heart, you plan your life, but the Lord decides where your steps will take you." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that deep? In your heart, you plan your life, but the Lord decides where your steps will take you. So how do we find our place? If you're not in the right place, how do you find the place where you are supposed to be? Well, if you go online and you Google "finding my place," you'll find all kinds of websites and informations. Some I would not recommend, others maybe so. You can look at those. But sometimes you will find websites and articles that will say what you need to do is ask yourself some very important questions if you want to find your place. And they're good questions. You'll find questions like these: if I had all the money in the world, how would you spend your time? What would a perfect day look like? What do you love to do? These are good questions, important questions for reflection. You know, this exercise, asking these questions and thinking about it, may help you to find your place. But you know, in the Bible, I see something just a little different. In the Bible, the questions are much more than just what makes you happy or what do you love to do. Those questions are important, but they may not lead you to your place. Often you may need to ask some different, even better questions. Questions like these: what has God created you for? What energizes you? What fills your cup, so to speak? Essentially, what gives you satisfaction? You see, that's a different question from asking what makes you happy or what do you love to do. I'll give you a personal example in my life. I don't like exercise. I don't. I wish I did. I wish I was one of those people who love to exercise, but I don't. I just don't like it. But I have learned this: I love how I feel when I finish exercising. It's the same with yard work. I don't like yard work. I'm not one of those people who enjoys it, but I do like having finished a task and being able to see what was accomplished. You see, sometimes the things in our life that give us a sense of satisfaction don't necessarily come because they are things we love to do. Your place may include some things you don't like. In other words, you may have to sit in a place that is not as glamorous or not as noteworthy as you might wish in order to be in the place where God wants you. Your place may include doing some things or being responsible for some things or being somewhere that you really don't like and you really don't enjoy. But if it is your place, if it is you doing what you were created to do, then in that place, even doing things you don't like, even being somewhere you don't want to be, you will find satisfaction and purpose doing what God has created you to do. I'll remind you that last week I shared with you a significant line from Paul Kalanithi's book, When Breath Becomes Air, for he says, putting lifestyle first is how you find a job, not a calling. And that fits exactly, not only with the parables from last week, but with the parable of today. It was the prodigal son who felt like his place was not where he was, but it was in the pleasure, it was in the comfort, it was in the enjoyment that he saw out there. So he goes to find his place, only to realize that his place was not out there in the pleasure and the comfort and the enjoyment. His place was right where he had always been. His home. One of the most important lessons Jesus teaches in this parable is that you don't find your place by focusing on yourself. You don't find your place in life by focusing on yourself. As Jesus watched people come into that room, they chose a seat based on their own thoughts about themselves. But our place is not about us. It's about God. The owner of the house, the host, will come in and move people to sit where he needs them to sit. In his wonderful book, Rick Warren writes about the purpose-driven life. He says something very similar. Here's how he says it. Focusing on ourselves will never reveal our life's purpose. Focusing on ourselves, he says, will never reveal our life's purpose. He continues. He says, contrary to what many books and movies and seminars tell us, we won't discover the meaning and purpose of our lives. We won't discover our place by looking within ourselves. We've all tried that, he says, and it doesn't work. We didn't create ourselves, so there is no way we can tell ourselves what we were created for. Warren says, if I handed you an invention that you had never seen before, you wouldn't know its purpose. You wouldn't know what the invention was supposed to do or how it's supposed to work. And the invention itself could not tell you those things either. Only the Creator can reveal that truth. It is only in God that we discover our origin, our identity, our meaning, our purpose, our significance, and our destiny, and ultimately, yes, even our place. As Anais Nin says, we don't always see things as they are. We see them as we are. That is so true. The way we see our lives shapes our lives. And the ultimate goal then is for us to begin to view our lives and our place in this world through the eyes of God. Have you ever used something that was not your own? Have you ever borrowed a tool from a neighbor or be able to go to someone's vacation home? Several years ago, we went to a cottage on the Outer Banks that belonged to family friends of ours, and Before we left, they told us, yeah, we want you to go and use this place for a week. And here's what they said. Use it, quote, as if it were your own. Well, we enjoyed being there. But we knew it wasn't our own. And because we knew it wasn't our own, we took special care of that place. In other words, we spent time making sure that everything was just so because it was not our place. Our culture says, if you don't own it, then you won't take care of it. But guess what? Christians live by a different set of values. And what we realize this morning is this: our lives are not our own. Our lives do not belong to us. For our lives have been dedicated and given back to God. And because God is the one who owns our lives, and because our lives belong to God, then we are called upon to take the very best care of our lives that we can possibly take. And that means putting our lives in the place where God wants us to be. The Bible says those who are trusted with something valuable must show that they are worthy of that trust. So this morning, where is your place? Your place may require a change in priorities. It may ask and demand of you a change in your schedule, in your relationships, maybe everything else in your life. Your place may mean choosing a difficult path instead of an easy one. Your place may be a lower seat instead of a more honored seat. But that's why it's important. And the questions are these: will you live your life for your own goals and comforts and pleasures, or will you live the rest of your life for God's glory? Who are you going to live for? Yourself? Or God? For right now, God is inviting you to live for His glory, to fulfill the very purposes for which you were made. And it's really only when we accept that place that God has given to us that that place becomes our place. And it's the place then that we call home. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, just as the prodigal son, and just as those who came to the banquet, we seek our place. We want to be home. So, Lord, today make our prayer that we are coming home to your place, to your purpose, to your calling, to the life for which you have called us to live. So lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.